The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Caddy Boy Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Fairways, and we are going to talk about how to improve your golf game one stroke at a time. Let's grab our clubs and head to the first tee.
Welcome back to the Caddy Boy Podcast. It is I, your host, Dr. Fairways, back with episode number 4. Today is inspired by Rory McIlroy and his victory of the 2025 Masters. It is a Hall of Fame win, not only because it was his first Masters, but it was his ticket into being one of the 6 people in the game to accomplish a career Grand Slam. For those who don't know, the Grand Slam is winning all 4 majors within your career. Tiger and Jack Nicklaus are on that list, as well as Gary Player, Ben Hogan, and one other name that I'm forgetting. But what makes Rory so special is he was a young phenom out of Northern Ireland that said at a very young age that he would win all 4 majors one day and be the best player in the world. And he grew up in the Tiger era, watching Tiger win in 2000 at, I believe, 19 or 20 years old, won his first Masters. And Rory had a chance to win the Masters in 2011 and ended up kind of blowing it, shooting somewhere between 79 and 81, which for a man that young at that age, even being in contention in a Masters was really only seen before by Tiger and Jack, doing it with such dominance. But after his Masters choke in 2011, he went to the U.S. Open and won by 8 shots, which then started a 3-year dominance by Rory from 2011 to 2014-15, where he picked up 4 total majors, winning the Open twice and becoming one of, if not the best players to ever play the game. Now, after winning his 4th major in 2015, he went on a 14-year dry spell of not winning another major. So he said in multiple interviews that it was like he was trying to win his first one again. He put himself in contention numerous times, lost to Bryson in the U.S. Open prior to the Masters, came top 10 in 3 different Masters leading up to that, had a couple of good runs at the PGA, a close call against Cameron Young and Cameron Smith at St. Andrews for the 150th U.S. Open, or rather the 150th Open. And in this last year, Masters, he overcame every obstacle, burden, every bad thought, every bad shot, overcame all of it to win it over Justin Rose in a playoff. Now, recently there was a documentary that came out about his victory and everything that came along with it. And the thing that I picked up most about Rory is just his pure resilience. And with people being so against him and rooting against him and media saying that he was never going to get it done and never accomplish his lifelong goal, it just added to the pressure that I'm sure he had already put on himself of going there time and time again, showing up, ready to play, ready to win, coming up short, and doing it for 14 straight years. So to see him kind of go through all that really just, it humbles you. It shows you how give and take this game of golf really is, and it shows you that you really are going to go as far as you believe you can. And it's truly, truly inspirational to watch someone struggle for that long and keep his head up the entire time, knowing that one day he would get it done. And surely he did. So what I really want to dive into in this episode is what makes you resilient. What makes you want to come back? What makes you want to fight? What makes you never want to quit? because with all that comes all the negative thoughts of, I can't get it done. I can't score on this course. I can't play this course. I can't win this tournament. And, you know, being a college golfer, I've been in a couple situations where I've had a tournament I could win or a putt I could make to keep myself in contention or come top 10 or do something really special. But every one of them, I've learned something completely different. You know, I discussed in the last podcast about my first collegiate win was at Quail Lodge last year and shot a bogey-free 64, 7-under in the first round. And then going into the next day, was kind of staying afloat for the first 9 holes, wasn't really playing great, wasn't really playing that bad. And then going into the last 9 holes, I knew I had a 3-shot lead, and my playing partner, Tyler Williams at Vanguard, was in the group with me. So it really just felt like a match play event where I was 3-up with 9 to play. And about 4 holes into that back 9, we were all square. And at that point, it's really, really easy to let the negative thoughts just flood your head and get you kind of clouded from what your goal really is. And I remember very vividly kind of walking off the 14th green, going to the 15th tee, all square with Tyler, and saying to myself how cool it was that I was even in contention in my first collegiate event. You know, I had to ground myself and kind of take a step back and realize what I had accomplished already, and that the victory wasn't going to be an end-all be-all. If I lost it, so be it, but if I won it, that'd be great to cap off a really good first tournament in a first round. But for me, I won the tournament on my own on that 15th tee, telling myself that the result wasn't the right way to look at it, that it was more, I was aware of my process and I was aware that I wasn't going to let myself slip because of my bad thoughts. It was going to be a victory to the end because I never lost belief that I could do it. And that's something that I believe all the best players in the world truly carry in different shapes and forms. But we look at, and we've discussed Tiger Woods being just so mentally tough and resilient throughout his entire career. He had this stoic, you know, presence, this aura about him that when he was playing on that Sunday in his red and black, everybody knew that they were going to try to catch him or he was coming to catch you. And Tiger had such an ability to stay focused for the entirety of that last day and all of the days of the tournament, but especially that last day. Tiger was exceptional at staying in his process and never wavering. You never really saw him smile. You never really saw him talking to his playing partners. It was just him and his caddy, 18 holes, never backing down. And for some people that works. I don't think it works for everybody, because staying locked in and concentrated and consistent through 18 holes, 6.5 hours of golf is, I would argue, nearly impossible for the common man to do. For the mid to high handicappers to do that is impossible. But when you get to that elite pro level, you know, you develop such a thick skin, knowing that anything can happen in this game. But Tiger and Rory and Jack Nicklaus and all those greats had such a calm demeanor in those important moments, and really just never shied away from those moments. They almost encouraged them, and they wanted to be there, and they wanted to be under the pressure and under the lights, having to hit a shot. You know, Rory had a 2-shot lead or a 3-shot lead going into the 13th hole at Augusta. And for those who don't know, one of the hardest stretches at Augusta is 10 through 12 10 is a tough par 4, followed by 11, an even tougher par 4, and 12 is the notorious par 3 over water. And he'd played them at even par beautifully. And he gets to the 13th hole, and with his length and his power, he normally can get there in 2, no problem, but told his caddy, you know, he wanted to play a little safer and played as a 3-shotter, and then hit a terrible wedge shot into the water, making double on a pretty standard par 5, and then he's again right back there with the field and now has to grind his way with his last 6 holes to play just to get back in contention. And he gets to the 15th hole after making double on 13, bogey on 14, and he's faced with a shot over water and has to hit about a 20 to 30 yard draw to get it on the green. And he said in his documentary that it was the most committed golf swing he had ever made under pressure in his entire career. And what's so great about that shot is you see him hit it and immediately start walking after the golf ball, just knowing that he pulled off the exact shot he wanted to hit. Now, we've all had moments on the golf course where we feel like we're one of the pros and we just pulled off something that we normally can't do. But, you know, being in this game for as long as I have, and hopefully will continue to be a long and great career, shots like that I've experienced maybe twice in my life. I can say that the 7-iron I hit into the last green at Quail Lodge when I won was something like that, where I knew I had to hit a shot that needed to be on the green or close to force my playing partner into doing something. And then a drive that I hit in the last round of the Sonoma State Invitational last year as well, that if I hit the fairway, I could almost guarantee a par and lock in a top 10 against a team that all my friends were on, and knowing that it was really important. It's almost like the world just kind of slows down in those moments where you know exactly where you are, you're present, you're calm, but you're also a little nervous. There's a little bit of butterflies, but there's this energy that washes over you of you are 100% aware of the moment that you're in. And it overwhelms you with confidence, fear, anxiety, stress, happiness. And the only thing that you can do in those moments is trust every ounce of ability that is in your body, knowing that this shot is within your ability. It can be pulled off. You can pull it off. And it's almost at that point where you don't put results into your head. It's almost not even a thought. It's you sticking to the process that you've stuck to, that has gotten you to that moment, that has brought you to a place where this shot needs to be hit, and you need to be the one to get out of your own way so you can hit it. It's the best word I can use to describe that is it's almost euphoric. It puts you in this state of complete euphoria that I hope everybody who is listening to this podcast can feel one day with whatever it is, but mainly on the golf course. It is such a special feeling to put yourself in that position, and watching some of the best to ever do it pull those shots off live it's the dream. It's unbelievable. You know, we are in the Scotty era, some would argue, where we've seen him kind of make his way through the tournaments this year and last year, watching him hit incredible shots time and time again, plow the fields that he's playing against. But we're seeing more and more players being able to do it, and I think it's because of the players that came before him, which is what makes this game of golf so special. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this week's episode. I am Dr. Fairways. We'll see you another time.